is Jamie, and I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Anita and Chris P., have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and or understanding. Paola will read the preamble.
Hi, my name is Paola, I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholic Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join in the Serenity Prayer. God,
do accept the things I have, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Delaney Kay will read the steps.
Thanks. Delaney, alcoholic. Hi. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Continued to take personal inventory. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the alcoholic and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Brian L. will read the traditions.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ryan.
The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of tonight's meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, the first of which will speak on the third tradition, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker to share in the third tradition is Sarah S.
Hello, my name is Sarah, I'm an alcoholic. So many of you. I thought for a second, what if I just didn't stand up? What would happen? However, here I am. So I'd like to start off by thanking Stephanie for asking me to speak. She's not here, but it's an honor to be up here to speak to you guys. I'm not being paid to be up here. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a delight. Nothing that I say is anything that I have made up. I've spoken to people that I respect in this program. I've read literature and pamphlets, and that's it. So, breathe. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Pretty basic, right? Don't drink. Come here. There's a lot of history behind this. Originally, not everyone was welcome here. I wouldn't have been welcome here. When it started off, it was a pretty small, select group of people who were in a lot of fear of losing this great thing that had started. And so that meant there was a list of a bunch of different rules to get in here. Perhaps you needed a sponsor to sponsor you in to get here, to look through a peephole, to be let in. Instead, now the doors are open. I read a letter written to Irma Livoni from the AA committee in Los Angeles, and they had asked her to not come back for reasons that they did not state, but that she knew. And if she wanted to, she could go and speak to this committee to get back in. However, she didn't, and she died. That speaks volumes to me because when I got here, nobody said I had to jump over any hurdles or go through hoops or anything. I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know that I had alcoholism, but I knew that I was welcome here. And thanks to the experience that came long before me, that was made available. So there's a delightful passage in the 12 and 12. I'll try to speak into the microphone. We were resolved to admit nobody to AA but that hypothetical class of people we termed pure alcoholics, except for their guzzling and their unfortunate results thereof. They could have no other complications. So beggars, tramps, asylum inmates, prisoners, queers, plain crackpots, and fallen women were definitely out. Yes, sir, we'd cater only to pure and respectable alcoholics. Any other would surely destroy us. Besides, if we took in those odd ones, what would decent people say about us? We're alcoholics. Decent people didn't care about me. They didn't want anything to do with me, but maybe for me to get some help. And I know I qualify for at least like 3 out of 7 of those things, so bummer. So I'm here, thanks to this, thanks to these traditions that were written a little bit of time after the big book. They had this blind period where they didn't know what was going on. And thank God they're here now. That was loud. So what this means for me is, like I said, when I got here, I was welcome here. I was 22. I didn't know what a high bottom or a low bottom was. I didn't know what a bottom was. I just knew that I was in a lot of pain. And you guys welcomed me here. And that means that for anyone else that I want to help in the future, I've got to do the same. This isn't high school. My sponsor told me we're a part of the about to die club. So that's pretty serious. I didn't know what alcoholism was. I didn't know really much about anything at that point. I was kind of dead. So when I got here, I got to meet up with people who knew what was going on and who spoke about the big book, which if you don't have one, get one. Thanks. It speaks about two people in the 12 and 12. One was stigmatized by something else, and another guy hated God. And because of this tradition, these people were let in, and they went on to help many, many, many other people. And hopefully I can do the same thing while I'm here. Because I don't want to be the judge and executioner of anyone. I don't want to give them their death sentence. I don't want to deprive anyone of what we have here because it's so special. This really saved my life. So I've got to remember to keep what I think I know in check, who I talk to, what I'm saying. I've got to stay on point. That means that I abide by the group conscience of the Atlantic group because it's my home group. Just because you don't want to drink and you're here doesn't mean that you're a member or that you're sober. That takes a lot of work and a lot of action. So it's important to, say, if you really like it here, sign up after the meeting. There's a commitment for that. But most importantly, if you like what you see here and you want it, do the work, and then you have to give it away. It's really simple, that kind of thought, not the work so much. I was really afraid nobody would laugh at anything because traditions are kind of hard to speak on. I was like, oh, I'm going to feel like a history story, whatever. So thanks. But I was talking to Bob before the meeting and he was mentioning how it's really important to say how, it was your sex, what color you were, what groups you belong to, you had to write these things down in order to be approved to be in. And how great is that we don't have to do that today? Alcoholics Anonymous is readily available for anyone who wants it. So if you have a desire to stop drinking, put down the drink, keep coming, check it out. Maybe identify with the speakers who are going to speak about their experience, strength, and hope after me. And talk to somebody else here. It also said that any two or three people can be in a group, and it's important to stick to alcohol, because the term Alcoholics Anonymous is very sacred. I'm quick to forget how what I say has depth and weight now that I'm sober, so I have to remember that, and I have to be focused and really speak about what this program can do for anyone. So perhaps when you go out into the world, remember that. And don't pick up a drink and keep coming back or stay as they say now. I'm going to cry. I think that's all I've got. Thanks.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Adam C.
Hey. Hi, I'm Adam. I'm an alcoholic. All right, here we go. I'm really, really excited. I was so scared an hour ago, and now I'm excited. This is amazing. I am so grateful to say that I'm an alcoholic. That was not always my story, and we'll get into that. This is not my first time at the AA rodeo. It's so weird. I was talking about it with my sponsor beforehand, and I've been doing this for a while. I came in these doors 2008. My first AA meeting was Sunday night Atlantic Group. Can you imagine? That was my first meeting. I walked in. I was like, what is this? I had such this fixed idea on what AA was, and I really had no idea. As other people have said, too, it's like I thought it was what you see in the movies. I thought there would be, smoking, even though smoking's been banned for a while now. And I thought that people would sit in this circle and... It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. I came in and people were so smiley. I saw someone extremely young speaking at the microphone. That shocked me. Younger than myself at that time. I was 24. And the reason that shocked me is because for a long time I used that as my crutch. Oh, I'm really, really young. I think it's easy. It's hard, rather, to decipher, am I an alcoholic or am I just a young partier? And these are some of the ways that you can decide if you two are an alcoholic. You come into these rooms and there's parts in this little book called a big book. Well, this is the 12 and 12. I don't have one on me, but we have a big book. And there's parts in there. Literally, okay, let me back up. So I was in this meeting. I tried dressing really, really well. On my walk to the meeting, it was December 29th. No, December 27th, I'm sorry, of 2008 or 9. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. So anyway, I'm walking to the meeting, 27th or 29th. I'm walking to the meeting, and as I'm walking, there's these bars that I'm walking past. And they had a sign. One of the bars had a sign that said, Brr, it's cold out there, .. But it's warm in here. And the door opened, and I heard like the jingle of the bells that were decorating the bar. There was Christmas lights everywhere, and people just laughing in hysterics and dancing and partying it up. And then the door shut really, really fast. And I wanted to go in so bad. I can't even tell you. But I had an ultimatum given to me by my ex that said, you have to go to this meeting. Call me as soon as you're done. And man, I was just so scared. So I pulled up. I saw people smoking outside. And that's a good indicator you're at an AA meeting. And they were like, hey, like, are you here for the meeting? I was like, yeah, I am. Is it in that way? So I had to go in. So after the meeting, you know, Sunday night meeting, they have this thing and they say, you know, not in order to embarrass you, but in order to get to know you, is there anyone in the first 90 days or so, please raise your hand. I did not raise my hand. I immediately start reading things. And I see God, God, God. You know, I hear people openly talking about God. And I have to tell you, it freaked me out. That scared me so much. I thought, what is this? What is this? Is this some sort of like, you know, Christian-based group? You know, am I going to be, what is happening? It was scary. It was scary. I did not want any part of that, any part of that at all. So I was not going to raise my hand. I did not want you to know me. At the very end of the meeting, I was going to dodge out, call my ex, you know, who's now my ex, call my ex and say, listen, I'm done with this. I'm, you know, yay. You know, I didn't drink and I went to a meeting. And it's not for me. I'm not an alcoholic. I didn't identify with the speaker. I was like, phew, I didn't go through any of that. Maybe I don't have this thing. So after that, someone approached me, my first sponsor, and he just said, hey, are you new? With a big smile, my name's Roland. And I said, I'm Adam. And I thought, how did you know that this is my first? I didn't know how he knew that I was new. isn't that funny? I was like, how do you know that I'm new? He said, hey, why don't you meet me tomorrow at this time? Do you want to go get a coffee? I didn't even drink coffee. Now I drink like a pot a day. I didn't even drink coffee at that time, nor did I eat sugar, by the way. Now I'm like 2 a.m. candy run right here. True story. And so I meet up with this Roland character the next day, and we go get coffee, and he offered to pay for me. And I was like, wow, he's so nice. He's getting me coffee. What does he want from me, right? And we start reading this big book, and he gives me this big book, and he's like, that's for you. And we start reading it, and honestly, I've heard other people share this too. I genuinely thought this was about me. how self-centered, but I did. I was like, oh my gosh, it was scary. Thank you so much. I thought, holy, like, I've done this. The things that really scared me was like, you know, some of the ways that we've tried to stop drinking is this method, that method, this method, you know, physical fitness, self-help books, switching from whiskey. You know, I did that. I quit drinking vodka, went to whiskey. Quit drinking whiskey, went to tequila. Why? Why would you go to tequila after all that? I don't know. My whole thing was, I was like, tequila doesn't get me drunk, but vodka does. I was like, vodka, it just ruins me. Tequila, I can drink a lot of it. It's crazy. And then I would get drunk and be like, I think I was Latin in a past life. And I would speak Spanish, probably offensively. I guess not. I don't know. I would try to speak Spanish and just crazy stories, right? One of the stories I will share with you, things started happening that were really scary when I first started drinking, or not first started drinking, but in the end of my drinking, lots of blackouts. I'll just skim that surface. Lots of blackouts. I woke up, I went to work the next day, and they said, oh my God, dude, when you came back to work, and I thought, what do you mean when I came back to work? I worked at a nightclub. Why would I come back at 4 in the morning? It was in a hotel. They said, you came back at 7 in the morning with your dog. And I was like, okay, like I thought they were lying. They were not. And the scariest part about that, how did I not remember that? I honestly did not remember that. That was so scary to me. And that was happening so at such a rapid speed. I was 24 and that was happening every single night for me. Every single night, every single morning I'd wake up and I had these panicked, you know, wakings of like and it was just like, okay, keys, phone, wallet, cash, receipts, like what, you know, piecing together. Every single morning was just so, so painful. you know, I identify with that part in the Big Book where we talk about the jumping off point and where we picture, we can't picture our life without alcohol anymore, but we also can't picture, we can't picture it with alcohol or without alcohol. Is that right? Does that make sense? I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, I it's weird. But anyway, I really couldn't, I couldn't picture my life without it. I would picture on down the road camping when I was 50 with my, like, partner and our children. I don't know why, but that was my fantasy. And I thought, like, we'd kick it around the fire drinking. But then I also knew that I was dying. So that was my first time I came into AA. I tried it for a year. Let me just give you some warnings. I really wasn't sober. You know, and I would come up here and the scary part is I don't think I really knew that so much, but I'd smoked pot 3 times during that first year. That's not really sober behavior. And, you know, although alcohol was my main problem, I allowed that to convince me, well, hey, I'm not like you. I could do this, and I did it one time, and I never shared it with anybody. And those lies were eating me up. Half measures avail us nothing. Rigorous honesty. Now listen, just as much as I bristled at antagonism with the word God, I bristle at words like rigorous. That terrifies me. Like rigorous, strenuous, work, action. I am lazy. This stuff terrifies me. It's so scary. But listen, it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. It's no wonder I went back out and drank for another 8 months. I had to go out and do some further investigation on my own. I had to do some further research. You know, thankfully my sponsor put his foot down and said, listen, I'm gonna stop working with you. You're not doing the program. I mean, I came clean about the pot thing, but there was just a lot of things that I really wasn't doing, like choosing to go to parties, even though I wasn't drinking, but choosing to go to parties rather than a meeting, right? This is not going to keep me sober. So I came back in these rooms. I grabbed another sponsor. He literally, it's who I wanted to be my sponsor. I only spoke to him twice before, and he tapped on my shoulder after a Thursday night meeting and said, hey, I have some room. Do you want me to sponsor you? That was my first God moment of coming back into AA. And even though I felt super dead on the inside again, yet again, just so embarrassed, I said yes. He said, whatever you do, don't drink tonight. I drank that night. I've tried fighting it so much, and I drank that night. But, you know, after that, going forward, I haven't had a drug or a drink since. I have not. I've gone through so much. I have literally 30 seconds, and I'll try to cram it all for you. My father passed away, but as a result of this program, I got to show up for him when he was getting a pre-op done. My brother, I had to deal with his craziness, his addiction. I got to pray with him, teach him how we pray. He had 6 months 2 days ago, a friend OD'd. I mean, so much has gone on in my life, as it has with everyone in this room. And I haven't had a drink. And my sponsor helps me every day, as do you, as does AA. Thank you so much.